Good morning, everybody. I apologize for the delay in the starting time. We want to establish a practice that we start at least within 10 minutes of the scheduled time, but there seems to have been some sort of misunderstanding about the venue. And I think we've got a quorum, so we can begin the proceedings. I want to welcome the Group CEO of SADC and a very sizable delegation. Okay, thank you very much. And is this thing working? Okay. I would like to welcome a sizable delegation of the newly appointed SADC board, chairperson and the rest of the members. I think they are known to most of us, but later on we will introduce them. Before we begin the meeting formally, we normally go to a few housekeeping matters. We are establishing a practice of adopting minutes at the beginning of every meeting. What used to happen is you get a stack of minutes 3 months later, and they become meaningless. So if you give us a few minutes, we can just quickly rush through. These have been circulated, I think. So if they are accurate, can we get a mover or seconder? Is there no amendment? So far. Second is by? Thank you very much. Having said that, welcome to everybody. There's a lot of interest in this hearing, I don't know why. Once you get lots of journalists around here, then you know that there's something interesting and there's some expectation about this particular briefing. We thought that we would have this in two parts. First, to dispense with the PSL SADC matter. I don't know if the representatives of PSL are present. No. All right, then what I would suggest is that we defer that item and that we take the main business around the SADC, the issues around the pseudo reports, the recommendations, and the other matters that were listed in the correspondence. And then we can adjourn for tea, and hopefully by that time people from the professional faculty will be here and we can do the second item. I was hoping to do that first so that they could leave and then we could spend time discussing our issues. For those few words, welcome again, and we'll hand over either to the chairperson of the board or to the principal.
Thank you, Chair. I will introduce the chief delegation from the SADC, starting from my left. And when I introduce them as well, I will indicate the committees that they chair on behalf of the board, so that you know the kind of issues they're dealing with. Ms. Gloria Turobe is the chairperson of the Finance Committee of the board. Diamond Boko, obviously, the chief executive. Oversee everything in the agency. We set up an ad hoc 2010 committee. Actually, the committee will be dealing with the 2010 committee of the board. Christine Pointer is the deputy chair, but she will also be overseeing the public or consultation committee of the board, which is the legislation committee. I will also talk about the two or three board members who are not currently, one of them might be joining us. David Kumalo will be chairing the new subcommittee of the board. Desmond Golding will be chairing the audit committee of the board. Nadia Kubulia is also well known in regulatory matters. Will not be chairing any committee, but she will be participating in all of the content-driven committees of the board, as well as the procurement committee. Alison Greenwald, who used to chair technology, will now be chairing the risk and strategy committee of the board. And Andy Davy, also an executive member of the board, will be chairing the procurement committee of the board. part of the executive team of managers, you also have our the acting company secretary, Sanders Nolan. We have the chief of officer, Kumelele Mange. We also have our chief finance officer, Robin Nicholson. And we also have the acting chief operating officer, Sado Mambari. That's the entire of the team that we have. We took this seriously enough to make sure that everyone who can be there is there today. The three board members who are not here is Mr. Peter Bunza, who is chairing the Public Commercial Services Commission of the Board. Fadila Nakadi, who might be joining us, she just has some problems with holding comments, she might be joining us. She will be chairing the Human Capital Committee of the Board. The other person who is not here is Kenji Kabula, who will not be joining. She will also be participating in the Human Capital Committee of the Board and as well as the News Committee of the Board, but she will not be chairing the committee. The entire team that we have here. I must also point out here that we truly appreciate this opportunity to engage with the committee. We see it as an opportunity to focus on the real issues that we see in the media so that we clarify them directly and we are depending only on what we see in the media. So hopefully today we'll be able to give you the whole picture, the full picture of what some of the things that we see in the media, but also the work that is happening behind the scenes. What we're also hoping to achieve today is just to put closure on all of the outstanding issues. The Sisulu Commission, for instance, because it was an entirely, it had a beginning, it had a set frame of references, and it has an ending or something. What we are taking forward is some of the recommendations that came from that commission. And we also, the reason why we want to put closure to this issue is because we've already appeared, I think, the previous board four times. Before the committee just addressing this issue. So what we're hoping for is that if in future we come and engage on this issue. It's just on the broad issues that came out, the editorial policies in particular of the SABC, so that we do not keep on referring to the committee, but on the actual work that is being done with the SABC in relation to particularly content issues and we also want to give the assurance to the committee about the leadership, the kind of leadership that we have in the SABC, that we are committed to creating policies that enable the SABC to deliver on its mandate, both at board level and management level. We are committed, we are ensuring and doing everything to make sure that there is capacity for the SABC to deliver on its mandate. Going forward, we foresee a very exciting time. We're entering into a new arena that all of us are probably not familiar with, the digital broadcasting arena. Just the changes on the media landscape, the new owners, the new players, both in the electronic and print media spheres, that creates a lot of challenges for the agency too. But we see it as an opportunity to grow and to play a bigger picture. And the next slide is of already indicated. These are the days and the times the previous board has appeared in front of the committee just to present on the security commission. The way we're going to do the presentation, the group CEO will talk into the number of issues that are related. I think one of them is just not related. You will talk on the Sisulu report that we give an update on the progress. You will also relate to the 3-point labor issue, because that also came out of the Sisulu report. And Mr. Tukam, you will talk on the CFM and the radio rights, just the outcome of the application, its impact on the FACC, and also on the radio rights as we are. And hopefully, by then, CFM will be here with the radio. Thank you. Number 3 and 4 are related to the people. So I'll now hand over to the CIT and focus on the student report and the related report.
Thank you very much, Chair. As the chairperson has stated, we will just give a very brief background of some of the issues, because we do not propose to cover all the grounds that we have previously covered on this matter. But in a nutshell, I think to also to paint the context, because sometimes when we see the coverage of these issues, I think people forget that this commission was actually appointed by the SABC itself. So we thought we should give that history, that in July 2006, the Group CEO appointed the commission and appointed commissioners in that respect. And he drafted the terms of reference covering the following issues. One, the existence or otherwise of a so-called blacklist. Two, perceived or real low morale within news and current affairs division. And three, international best practice in respect of the use of analysts and so on. The other point which must be borne in mind is that the Commission itself said the following in its preamble, that the proceedings before the Commission were not a trial nor a vehicle of inquiry into labor disputes. The Commission's task was simply to investigate the matters within its terms of reference, and that in certain instances there were irresolvable disputes of fact. And because they were not a trial, they were not able to resolve those disputes of fact. The next point, by way of background, is that part of this concerned an attempt by the SABC itself to comply with its own editorial policies. And in fact, the issues around this commission were provoked by an internal process of trying to work out guidelines as to how we would use analyst commentators and so on. And that comes from our editorial policies, which, from which I quote now, the SABC occupies a distinctive position of trust in the lives of its viewers and listeners. We are the most distinctive, all-inclusive and diverse news organization in South Africa. The SABC considers it a duty to provide consistent, relevant, useful and top-quality information and analysis. So this issue was really about ensuring that the quality of the information that we feed to the public is not of perfect quality. The last extract from our editorial policies, which was quoted by the commissioner, says the following, that the SABC should offer information that is substantial and analysis that is authentic and meaningful to ordinary inquiring South Africans so that they can form their own opinions. I think that's also very important. So that the analysis that you give must be authentic and offer a substantially good standard so that the citizens can form their own opinions. I think the last point by way of this kind of background is that the commissioner said the following very importantly, which also somehow conveniently sometimes gets forgotten. They said, and I quote, "Our point of departure is that it is perfectly permissible for the SABC to have in place a policy dealing with the selection and utilization of commentators and analysts. Nobody who appeared before the commission suggested otherwise. Clearly, the SABC has a duty to screen persons as authentic, experts, and persons who will add value to programming. Mr. Pope stressed the matter of quality in this regard." I just thought I should, just as by way of reminder, paint that context, because this commission report has been interpreted in many ways by various people, some of whom I think have not even read it. The next point, Chair, is now to get into what you've asked us to do, which is really to give you a rundown, a progress report on the implementation of the recommendation. you might recall, well, you were not here personally, but that the issue of the recommendation was something that we committed to the committee that we would implement going forward. I'm referring to the clauses in the recommendations themselves, from the understanding that members would have copies. The first cluster of recommendations, which really deal with the same issue, are clause 10.1 to 10.4 of the Commission report, which I've paraphrased as follows. Those recommendations basically require that we should ensure that no instruction to exclude any analyst should be given without proper motivation. If a decision is contested in that regard, then upward referral to the group CEO as in his capacity as editor-in-chief, and that there's an entitlement of journalists who would be involved in such a dispute to written reasons by the SABC as to why a particular commentator should be used or not used. The status then, Chairperson, is that this resolution has been implemented and communicated to news management, and so that's in place. That happened some time ago. This was quite an easy one to implement. The next one is 10.4 and 10.6 of the report. Those two resolutions really deal with a requirement for the incorporation of the measures that were recommended in the 10.1 to 10.4 into the SABC's editorial policy, which is the document that I'm sure members are familiar with. And with the state of that the new board will determine the need to process of and process to be followed as required by legislation. If I can just unpack that statement. As you might know, that the current editorial policies of the SABC were the result of a very extensive public consultation process nationwide, which involved a whole lot of stakeholders. And the commissioners themselves, I think, commended this approach, and we feel that, unlike all our other policies, this is the one core policy which the board, although the board is perfectly entitled to change the policies now and again, but I think the appropriate approach has been taken, which is that if those policies are to be changed, a similar nationwide, probably quite time-consuming process would be followed, and this will be tabled to the new board. The next recommendation, 10.5, was that the SABC had to address the allegations of micromanagement and clarify the job description of the group executive news and current affairs. The status of that, this was implemented, I think, in November 2006, and this method was discussed at length in a counseling meeting between Mr. Funde, the then chairperson, myself, and the Group Executive of News and Current Affairs, which as I said took place in November 2006. The next one is 10.7, which was a suggestion that we should perhaps have an annual review on the use of commentators, as a prospective kind of review. And the status of this is that I've referred it to our unit called Market Intelligence of the SABC, which basically does all our research. And the report in respect of the first annual since the commission took place, which is 07-08, will then be considered by the board after year end, which is in 4 or 5 weeks' time. The next one is 10.8. Here it was said that we should consider general training on issues around analysis and specialist interviewing and so on. The status of this is that there was already training in this regard, but in addition we have ongoing training on what we call the broad socio-political context, in conjunction with certain tertiary institutions. One that springs to mind is a very comprehensive course that we have with the University of the Vet Pakistan, where our journalists are trained in quite big batches on the social political context of the country. Next one, 10.9, the Commission has recommended the reinforcement of the position of Group CEO as editor-in chief, establish a senior management forum in news, receive feedback, and a dedicated position for policy compliance. This, most of this was already in place. The system of upward referral, in fact, has always been perfectly in place, not just in news and current affairs, but also in any editorial work which is done by the exhibition. And the news cluster is in line with the cluster system that we have previously presented to this committee, was established so that it takes care of the issue of a senior management forum as a sounding board, and a compliance manager appointed to monitor group-wide legislative, but more importantly, policy compliance. The last recommendation was that the board should take cognizance of the concerns about the management style of Dr. Bikalala. And the status of this was that this was addressed by the former chairperson and group CEO, and the board accepted the recommendation of some disciplinary action, and verbal warning and counseling were implemented in this regard. And I think this was reported also to Parliament sometime last year. So as far as we're concerned, Chair, these recommendations have all been implemented, and some of them obviously could not be implemented to completion immediately. So insofar as they might take longer, the outcome might be outstanding, but certainly they've all been given effect to in line with the board's commitment in the statement that the board released after the commission. The last issue, which is put as a separate issue in the agenda, but which is related, as the chairperson pointed out, is this 3-point labor issue. And once again, I think this issue has assumed all sorts of different shapes since it was articulated. So I thought it would be useful just to quote what the commission has said about this. The commission said this in clause 8.9 of the Sisulu report. Quote, "The Commission was presented with documentary evidence emanating from CPOINT's news office. In the main, it was beyond the terms of reference of our inquiry because it related to employment issues. We accordingly did not hear oral evidence on these issues. Nevertheless, we feel it is important to state that there appears to be serious problems at the CPOINT office, which, if true, are concerned with the issues of political partisanship. We strongly recommend to the group CEO that these issues should be fully investigated." What I then did in line with that recommendation was to evaluate the merits of the allegations of which were essentially of favoritism, racial bias, and allocation of time and resources to certain political parties. I interviewed some employees separately in regard to this. And this was also accompanied by some exchange between myself and one Mr. Tony Leon quite what I call robust correspondence in respect of a specific incident of the coverage of the DA MP whose wife had allegedly stolen welfare money and complaints of the CPOINT office coverage of this story. In both instances, both in respect of the complaints that were raised with the commission and the ones raised by Mr. Leon, I looked into the issue and came to the conclusion that there was no discernible merit in these accusations, and they were more about, you know, politicking or actions of a politician, and some aggrieved or disgruntled employees, and they were in the second instance were essentially labor relations issues disguised as broader political issues. And this was not an isolated incident, Chair. Invariably, when you have this kind of wide, open commissions, I think of the 35 people who came to testify, maybe 5 or 6 really came to raise their own personal gripe, and I think we had expected this. So this was just one of those incidents. I'm not saying the complaints might not have been valid, but they certainly did not belong to this kind of broader investigation and could have been dealt with in the normal labor relations processes. If I may, Chair, then move to the last issue, which was this is now not nothing to do with the Civil Commission. This, you raised the issue of the disciplinary cases and investigation. All right. In respect of that, we state that, firstly, that we hope that the members will bear with us, that it would be improper to discuss specific cases, you know, and mention people's names, especially those which are still pending. This would constitute unlawful and unfair labor practices. What we will, however, do is to deal with those cases that are already in the public domain, because the risk of somebody taking us to task or to court is diminished, because those issues are already in the public domain. But I thought before I do that, I think it's important so that, you know, when we are called to account, the context is clearly understood. I will take the opportunity, Chair, to just map out the process that we follow in terms of our governance in dealing with these issues of corruption, fraud, or whatever the case may be. Firstly, step one is that we are made aware, I call it the awareness of the allegation. We are made aware of the allegation in one way or another, whether it's by an anonymous letter or someone doing a tip-off or whatever, or somebody who has seen something. But somebody brings the allegation to the attention of the SABC. What we then do is we do an evaluation of that accusation. So sometimes it might just be unfounded, or somebody, you know, maliciously accusing somebody else. And so we establish the what one might call the prima facie merit of the allegation. And depending on the nature of the offense, that is either done by internal audit, by the group CEO, or the board itself, depending on the nature of the offense. The third, after this, would then be an investigation or a withdrawal. In other words, if you found that somebody just made an accusation that clearly has no merit, after the stage two, then that would be the end of it. If you find that there is some merit, then you order a proper investigation. That investigation, once again, differs on the nature and the gravity of the alleged offense. For example, if it's about, you know, somebody has had a fight with somebody else, you might say the investigation might be done by the supervisor or the manager in that division. If it's something much more serious, I might have to do the investigation myself, either literally myself or by getting assistance of other people. If, as in the case of the Civil Commission, this allegation is of such a national gravity, I might feel that it should be fairer to have independent people to do the investigation. But whatever the nature of the investigation, there will be such an investigation. In other cases, the board might get a law firm or whatever to do the investigation. Then once again, once such investigation is done, we then get to stage four, which is either the investigation might show that there's nothing, in which case we withdraw the investigation, or we do one of three things. Disciplinary action in terms of the labor processes. Two, a civil suit if there's any money that should be recovered on behalf of the SABC. And three, criminal charges if the situation warrants that kind of action. Or any combination of these. So we could do a disciplinary action. That doesn't mean we want to also try to recover the money or lay charges if we have to. So it could be all three or two of those, or one. And then number five, which is the final stage, then there's a finding whether the person is then cleared or there's a sanction imposed, whether they are dismissed or whatever, or warning or whatever happens. That's really how we deal with these matters. And obviously for a state-owned entity like ourselves, the most important thing is to have a system like this which is consistently applied in all cases, really. As I say, the only difference is might be the gravity of the case, but really the process is standardized for reasons of fairness and consistency. Having laid out that outline, I would then finally like to update the committee on some of the specific cases which, as I say, we felt we could share in public without jeopardizing any sensitivities because they are already in the public domain. One is the Sisali case, which is the case of our former head of Senegal. Here the allegations were around allegations of fraud and intimidation of employees. This employee resigned in September, and the Trump state tried to withdraw his resignation, which we refuted, and his employment was effectively terminated then with effect from September. And criminal action has been instituted in respect of the money, and possible civil action will follow, probably depending on the outcome of the criminal case. That's where that case is pending in that sense. Second one involves our company secretary, Ms. Ramani Naidu. Here the allegation was about her involvement or her leakage of a confidential internal audit report to the Mail and Guardian, among others. And following the steps that I mentioned, the investigation confirmed that the FABC had a reasonable suspicion in this respect, and had disciplinary committee set in December and in February the one we're in now. And before that, she purported to resign, which the resignation was not accepted by the FABC. And the outcome of this disciplinary case on this leakage of information was received by my office and the board last week, and is in the process of being communicated to her legal representative. And that's why we don't feel free to share what that outcome is now, but it will be shared with the committee, obviously, in the future. The last one, Chair, which is also in the public domain and quite an important case, is what the Lister DFM case, where we uncovered fraud amounting to some 32 million rand. And in fact, my information as of last week was that more fraud was uncovered in this case, so that amount might even grow by another 2 or 3 million. And we here enlisted the services of the Special Investigating Unit and Commercial Crimes Unit. And the criminal trial is continuing, as I'm sure members will be aware from public fear. Other methods which are identified in our annual report are still at an early or sensitive stage, and we don't feel free, for the reasons I've already mentioned, to deal with those in much in great detail. For example, the case involving Saroda Rapeti, whose case is still at some fairly offensive stage. That's in a nutshell, Chair, is an update. As I say, it was a bit difficult, but we thought, instead of saying no, we're not permitted to deal with these issues, that we could discriminate between those methods where we would jeopardize people's legal rights, who might be innocent. And those cases where the methods were already in the past. Thank you very much.
Thank you very much, Mr. Mpofu. And this is open for comments and questions. Scott?
Chairperson, I take it that we'll just deal with specific issues and we can open to more general things later. If I may just hone in on the key point issue, if I may, because this has been something that I have been quite concerned about for some time. And as you're all aware, under the Protective Disclosure Act, we do have access to a lot of the material that was presented not only to the union, but to the market. So, I mean, these are only just some of the documents that we were given. So I'm rather concerned that given all of these documents here, and the very, very, very serious allegations and statements and concerns and human experiences that are contained therein, that it can be quickly dismissed as disgruntled, aggrieved employees. Certainly, in some, there are allegations in terms of news stories of allegations of political bias, in terms of direction to be sort of anti-whistle and pro-culture and that sort of thing. So, yes, there are some political overtones, but on the whole, a lot of them deal, of course, with the management and sort of Mr. Jeffrey Kwala. There are, in fact, there is a clear allegation of fraud in relation to computer systems being overridden for in terms of overtime payments. So I just don't think it's so easy to sort of say that these are disgruntled employees who may be using politics as a way in which to express themselves. Now, so I need to ask, what are you doing about these? You say they're labor related, but clearly there's a serious problem there. So what is being done? Chair, I heard you say that you hope that this is all going to go away after today's meeting, but with respect, I think many of us are going to keep coming back until we're satisfied that things are being dealt with. You say that there's now a human capital. Is that taken over from your human resources?
No,
it's the same thing. It's just for the human. Because I really would like to know no discernible merits in the accusation, you say. Well, I think that clearly Susulu and Marcus found that there were discernible merits, hence that they were being raised. And so I really want to know what you're doing specifically in terms of the office, because these reports are coming and coming and coming. And so we need to know, have any specific board members been allocated? Can I look at this? Have you allocated any particular, because you've got the human capital now committee, but what, I don't think that you can just say, this and don't come back to us about this, because I certainly am going to come back and back and back until these reports stop dropping into my inbox. Thank you.
Yeah. May I suggest that we take questions on the C-point issue and then try and close that. Ms. Mutt, and what have you got on the C-point issue now?
Randy
Peterson.
Okay, thank you much. To frame it as a question, my question to the new board is from whom we have high up, is whether they will in fact follow the recommendations of Liverpool and institute an investigation at C-point. And may I say from our side as the DA, we have had long-standing and systematic experience of political bias against us and in favour of certain formations within the ANC. For example, but all of this has to be submitted to a proper investigation. For example, if a UC journalist, since departure, told us at the time when a government was being formed in Cape Town after the municipal elections of early 2006, that SABC reporters would bring in their work, their news reports, and would quite simply be overruled by Jeffrey Kwala, who would run stories that were sometimes even flatly contradictory to facts that the journalist had brought in. And intervention appeared quite clearly to be aimed at achieving a result favourable to the ANC in the negotiations. And leading personalities from political parties, not our own, were simply misquoted. And you may wish to expand your net quite wide and talk to the IV and others and make a judgment on that. But it is our systematic and long-standing experience against a pure political bias.
Thank you. You know, I know it's difficult to respond to the allegations where people said, please don't mention my name and that, all of that. But I think I've brought it to the meeting before, particularly around C-point, where I did raise them as in claim. Let me illustrate one particular case of Anthea Warner. And she was not raising against the SABC at all, but rather towards the radio station which she worked for. But the subsequent, because nothing has been happening, she's been doing the morning so for many a year. You get to a point where you say, but nobody's responding to it. Let me just check my back for my own sanity and leave a statement to the effect of, I know you're going to work with CNBC, this new thing. That's why you're picking a fight with all of us. Unfortunately, it didn't happen. Now, I must confess, Jefferson, this person is also my friend. And hence, he brings it. But I'm not making it something personal. The fact is, if you look at the radio phone trends, a question comes to one's mind, has transformation taken place? The Afrikaans, woman, Afrikaans speaking, when Angie, a colored woman, left, she's been replaced by a white man. And if you look at the hierarchy of management, you can start to understand why certain allegations of racism are being made. Because wherever you go to, you also end up the senior journalist also being a friend of the manager and put it all together. So wherever they go, they hit the ceiling to a point that she left. The other one left, wasn't employed for a while, being picked up by one of the MECs to be a spokesperson of all of that. So these frustrations are there. And like I said, very often it's not around the entity as a whole, but around specific radio stations. Now, unless you start to deal with the chairperson, no perception will continue. That is the one particular case that I've raised before, and it seems of not much has been happening. Thank you.
Yeah, I just want to ask a question. In your slide 19, you, in your first paragraph, there, you said that you evaluated the merits of the allegation. Was it done by you personally, or was there a team appointed? How many people were actually, apart from the three, but only three people actually interviewed? Because if I look at the recommendation that has been made by the full report, and they specifically call for the matter to be fully investigated. And that's meaning different things. An investigation, in my mind, means one thing. An evaluation of the grievances might mean something else entirely.
Okay.
So what I want to know is what procedures were followed. Was this an open invitation to all staff members in that particular office to say, look, what are your problems? What were they allowed to come and brief you personally or table document, or was this just a limited meeting with three people where you interviewed them and then you came to the conclusion that there are no questionable merits?
Okay.
I want to understand the procedure.
Yes, okay. Thank you, sir. Yeah, I think it was...
And one more question, Mr. Kumalo.
My mind is open. I'm just looking at the slide thing. The way you have put the wording. I just want to check that whether it's correct that these are not political matters, but they are devastating matters. And if that is the case, and I know the content is an organization that means and ways of being the issue, are you doing the issue? Because if they are dead, also need to address whether political or devastating.
Thank you. Thank you. I think particularly for the last question, because really, so firstly, separate into your question, I think as you formulated, one could call it the second one, the limited, because I did it myself. I spoke to various people, obviously having had some of the background. But the crux of the matter, I think, is this issue. When I say that this issue, or what I was trying to say is that they did not belong, as the Civil Commission found. They did not belong under the realm of the Civil Commission. That this is not an attempt to belittle the issues or to say that they were not important in their own right. It's simply to say that they, insofar as they were labor-related issues, then the channels to deal with them are quite available. And those people, indeed, some of those who are still at the FADC, whether the accusers or the accused, would use those channels. Some, I think, as Ms. Dutt, since Matt indicated, some of them have since departed, you know, so in those cases, in those particular cases, then probably there's nothing much that you can do. So there is that aspect. What I can undertake to do in response is to isolate, maybe for you for the next time or even in between, isolate the specific allegations and say what has been done, will be done, or whatever the purpose of each. whether they are labor relations issues or political issues. I'm simply making the point that these are not, as the commission itself found, these are not matters within the terms of that commission. And so, yeah, I suppose even the specific issues, I mean, about the tension in Raja Sandhav Khranza might be valid and serious, but it's not a matter that really belongs to what we are discussing now. And I'm sure we can just take it up in its own merits. It's the first time I'm hearing about it myself.
Just to add that definitely the matter has been put in front of the HR Commission across the board. Even now we would ask Mr. Hazim to look into the issue. So it is on the agenda. So if there's any other outcome that will be reported on.
Specific
to CCON, but the transformation issue is broader than the SADC. It's beyond just the Western Cape office. But this particular matter has been raised on the agenda.
Only transformation.
No, I'm just saying this is like all of the labor issues, but the issue of transformation has been raised right now by one member. So that issue is going to be not only for RSP, but for the
Chair, I don't
All right, can we move off the Sea Point office issue? Good. Any comments on the report, on the recommendations of the Statute of Report and the implementation program? Mr. Kumalo? That's fine.
Thank you. To say that we first of all acknowledge the time taken by the board members. Some of them do not attend for the SADC. There are men and women who are also in all the professions and that's what I think they should do for respect. So we really appreciate the time that they say to this. But somebody said that the stand for the fact that for quite some time the board position resources have not been exercised quite well yet. The stand for the fact that we normally need the CEO, the CFO, the CEE, the COO. Now you find that the board members sometimes they get surprised on to see what actions are supposed to represent their views. Now we really acknowledge that and also believe that it might be a continuity where 3-4 board members will come and sitting on issues that affect various communities that are accountable to. Now, Mr. President, it is quite true that the SABC initiated the Commission of Inquiry, and therefore troubles of record, this commission is not called Makassar. It has no body called Makassar. It's a Sulu commission. And Gilbert Makassar was the deputy. So the impression there that written Makassar, I don't know who is Makassar. That's all. So that we are clear. Because it's written like that without the correspondence. So, Sir President, the issue that it goes to the CEO then establishes that commission. But fundamental purpose to the commission is just for the fact that a group executive of the public broadcaster decided that some particular commentators, their views were not in line with what he perceived to be the correct views that are supposed to be aired by the SAC. And we then got to be told that this was Karima Brown, Obrima Chikri, Vukanin Jay, Wellington Jay, Kerema Susuli, and others. Now, the CEO at the beginning of that, he said, yes, we're going to go, and everybody was excited. That if this is really been, yes, we're going to go, then we'll have to see really what happens. Then, in the process, when these things were going on, and the commission had continued, now the actual problem was the fact that the group executive, Dr. Zigala, had told some of the staff that these people cannot be given a platform because they perceive to be anti-Mbeki or in the particular part of the ANC succession battle. Some of them is decided he didn't like their views on Zimbabwe, like I don't know when it's Mbeki that if they are sent to Mukaibe and they don't say anything about MPC, stuff like that. So you said all those type of things. That was quite exciting to see that actually you do quite a number of things, right? You restore the dignity and the fair fairness, balance, reporting with the SABC, to issue of the freedom of expression, multiplicity of views, and all the type of things will be put in place and will be the key driving force for the SABC. Now, chapter 7, the board then recommended quite a number of things to be followed. Actually, each of the page 87 of the 76 of the report. In terms of the recommendation, I think it's 76. Yes, it's 75 to 76 and 77. Actually, you realize that then the commission recommended quite a number of things to happen. One of them was the fact that at that point in time, a anchor of radio AM live, John Tellman, then had also made some comments on the matter, and eventually Dr. Vigadana was supposed to also have been, something should have been taken, the CEO in the recommendation was supposed to then take full control as editor-in-chief of what should happen. Now, unfortunately, Chairperson, I must tell you that I don't think the CEO or any of the board members taking any action against Dr. Vigadana. Absolutely. Yeah, when we that, what he did, and that's to call the ANC phrase, yesterday, what he did it was wrong, today, it is wrong, tomorrow, it will be wrong. And I said that when he was saying something like that it is unacceptable that a group executive of the SABC could in the internet decide not to blacklist people because they does not agree with their view. And it is shocking, everybody is very disappointed that no action until today has been taken against the particular, and it's very specific. And we intend to check those things, not because Dr. Vigadana has a bias against particular in terms of the succession of things, but for the fact that a public broadcaster should not allow itself to be used for such a narrow political agenda. If you think correct, it will not be right today, it will not be right tomorrow. It doesn't matter who takes over in a ruling part of any other political party. So we saw that this matter was not right, it's approved properly by the board, by them, and the CEO. And as a matter that we think the board must consider that issue the matter. The issue Chairperson, why is important? Because one, we are not so sure whether those same people are now giving platform, and also whether the board and the management truly believe that Dr. Vigadana was right in doing that. Because if we don't implement it, it might also say that we are happy with the status quo. Now that then says, it raises a question about the allegiance of the board and the management itself in relation to such a political issue. So I think that was the problem said. And the last point said is that we had expected then a team to be set up in terms of now, if you check there in the recommendation, group CEO. In terms of the recommendation, a team should have been set around the CEO that will then be able to monitor, to give direction, and to give the news. Our news credibility. Now, it's unfortunate, and I said this to talk to Ms. Gloria Sorondo when she was interviewed for the board, that, you know, it's unfortunate to come to the board when the SABC is going through a very difficult phase. And I'm worried that people like yourself, men and women of character, who have really for some time, your careers or reputations can be taken down with the actions of internal process between institutions and messages. I wouldn't want to see many of the things that we put here to be really subject to that. So that would expect the SABC to conduct itself in a manner that's in line with the African Union Commission on Human and People's Rights that talk about freedom of expression, protection of the views, various views of people, or the United Nations Charter that deals with the circulation of freedom of expression. So I think this is the way where we come from, sir. This is where we thought that should be the direction. Thanks a lot.
Anybody else? Please, Matt? Thank you, sir.
I hope you don't call that freedom of expression.
So I want to welcome the work taken by my colleague, Jose Kumano. We do have a new SABC board. And I think that it would be an excellent idea to review the actions and the decisions taken by the outgoing board after the and Marcus report. I will get back in a minute to the more detailed steps you have taken. But let me just because Mr. Kumano has now addressed the issue of Dr. Sikolana, let me start there. you seem to have received a slap on the wrist. I mean, in so many words, what happened to you is described by yourself in the report of counseling. I rather think more than counseling is in effect a matter of professionalism. And I want to quote you, Ten, as the findings of the Marcus report, against the background of sequences that was implemented. And then I want to say to you that the proof that this issue needs relooking is the fact that a new manifestation of this problem is occurring as we speak. Team 6, the board should take cognizance of the concerns about the particular management style of Dr. Cecilia Ann. I quote, the inappropriate, what did I say? Okay, your pardon. The board should take cognizance of the concerns about the particular management style of Dr. Cecilia. And I quote, the inappropriately narrow interpretation of the SADC's mandate. This is what the whole issue is about. As the custodian of the SADC mandate, the board needs continuously and publicly to emphasize that the corporation is the property of all South Africans. Accordingly, the board's leadership should encourage SABC personnel to recognize their accountability to the public at large and their duty to present a full spectrum of views. Now, why do I say that the problem has not demonstrably not been dealt with? Because we have now, in this week, the political editor of the SABC, doing what any South African is entitled to do. You can don't found or revive a race exclusive or a culture exclusive or a particular interest exclusive organization. Anybody can do that. But the fact of the matter is that AD is the political editor of the SABC. And in terms of your editorial policies, I quote, the SABC occupies a distinctive position of trust in the lives of its viewers and listeners. AD cannot serve the interests of one group only, and when he goes behind closed doors to invite a person as important in our country, as disputed in our country, as Mr. Zeka Zuma, then there's a problem. Then inevitably the question arises, what is happening behind the closed doors? What is it that AD and other journalists feel they can't ask in the open? What is it that feel they can't say to Mr. Zuma? Are they saying that Betty is favored at the SABC newspaper? What is he saying? What is Mr. Zuma saying to the journalist behind closed doors? These questions then arise, and that's not healthy. And AD, although he may do as a person, what is within his rights, I'm sorry, he can't cross the line, a professional line, when he is the political editor of an organization which owes up to the media trust, or not South Africa. And I think it is more than unfortunate. And I would like to argue that if this Dr. Zikazana had been more appropriately and firmly dealt with, this kind of problem wouldn't now arise. A clear need is needed. It is not the board's job, of course, to be involved in editorial matters. But what is the board's job? It's to state, as Marcus has suggested, very clearly, no inappropriately narrow interpretation of mandates will be tolerated. And I feel that this is to the other smaller things I wanted to deal with. One is quite important. To the group CEO, why is the fact that you sorted our careers that you filed, by make a filing in the case before ICASA brought by the FSI, to the effect that the SABC does not affect the findings of the market institutions report? Why was that your position? And I know even today, in your presentation to us, you stressed there are irresponsible disputes of fact, but that's in the 2,000 pages of evidence given. You do concede the core findings are based on evidence that is undisputed. We have heard in the House before now, because I've asked parliamentary questions, received answers from the next 2 minutes, so we clearly don't hang out now, that yes, the evidence that the recommendations are being implemented. You confirmed that today. But now, I mean, can we clear this up? The SABC does or does not affect the findings. What did you say in front of the ICASA? Was that another legal matter? But should we have clarity on that? And then at last, I would by and large agree with you that probably the right thing to do with the recommendations on giving reasons so that you can introduce the culture of justification, which is probably the editorial policies are not quite, I would seem to agree with you, but then you must assure us that there is a protocol or another set, and what are the, what is the other set of rules and regulations or protocols under which the editorial staff function, which would protect journalists against the arbitrariness of a news head. The problem was not so much straight political bias in one direction as unpredictability, arbitrariness, personal preferences, the things that Mr. Kumar owns.
You want to respond? Okay.
No, no, sir. I can't respond. Yeah, I guess that I'll respond. I nearly contested in some of the issues. But look, sir, the issue here maybe is that what we are saying is that in my view, the action taken against Dr. Mugadam, I think, was not appropriate. But you must remember that the SADC voted as a public student. But I don't think it was appropriate where a person deliberately diverged from police. You see, deliberately, you know there is a policy, you create your own policy from the side, then you undermine policy that are adopted. Deliberately, then you say it's a country. I think it's a deliberate attempt and action for a person because he knows. And if you go through the report, we are asking no later that person to say, yes, I know that this editorial policy is bad. More and above that, deviation from those things. And then you can show a person at this level to understand something better. So I'm saying, I think the SADC board did what they're supposed to do, but I think it's just that the company has an ultimate decision to say you are doing shows. Who are not taking the public seriously. If you read that report, what has been happening? And we are only aware of those cases raised. We are not sure what else happened. There are a lot of speculation on the media and so on. This was happening and getting signed and so on. But what you say, given the report, then you seem to agree that there are other people who have been fined or blacklisted, not to be shown on TV. Whereas you open ETV, stories to court of local competition, you see other stories, then you go to SADC, those stories you can't see that. Surely the problem, then one assume that maybe the problem was that they are forced from that resource. So I think that is the issue. It's a very important and a bigger issue than cancelling. So our appeal is that the board needs to review or to resolve to that particular matter, because surely it can be, it's not correct. You can't just come to the system, you know, that's ready to give a review to what I'm doing, undermining the policies of the agency. And so, okay.
Now, I would suggest, Mr. Mpoka, I see you are anxious to respond. I think let's take the comments, because it is also not just a kind of, you know, question answer. It's a discussion that we want to engage in. And there might be different views, but allow for that to occur so that you can then respond in a comprehensive way. Mr. Peterson, in response.
Jefferson, thank you for following up, particularly for Ms. Smuts and Mr. Kumalo. You know, it's good enough. I never heard the SABC or this board at any stage refuse to implement or they don't accept the report. You know, the good comes with the bad. Whatever goes with it. But I would rather like to see, Jefferson, is that we put start to put time frames to when these things need to be implemented. We can't have forever work in progress. Of course, it means that we'll have to call you back every 3 months to give us an updated report. Because this committee, which I'm part of, would like to see or like to monitor the board where they actually track are doing this work that they set out to do. So you've got to put time frames when do you see certain things in place. So I can then, when you do come again, and it's part of the day you say certain things will be in place, I can ask you about that. Otherwise, this Sisulu Commission report will be kept alive forever. Because it could be sent to the back burner because there's more important things to do, or we can deal with it as quickly and as comprehensively as possible for you to monitor and for us to monitor when it's actually is happening and there's an improvement in terms of work being done at the city. Thank you, sir.
Yes, thank you, Chair. If I
might
follow up, the issue of the political editor of the agency in the context of the Citizen Markets report that the corporation. Both of them were involved, perfectly involved in drafting this report, made it clear that the corporation is the property of Bobby Garvin. So I would like to ask in the context of the political editor holding this secret meeting for Black Journalists Only. Is the SABC, does the board, does the current executive, do you consider that the SABC as it's currently constituted, do you consider that it is representative of enough, or totally, of Black journalists, editors, producers and so on? Do you consider that it is appropriately and sufficiently representative of Black journalists and other professionals as a group? And as of also Africans in general, I have been reading, as the group here will know, it is a copy of a book that has quoted you as saying that you felt that White, in essence, wanted to determine the SABC's agenda. And you know, does the board, does the executive still feel that there is a view that in fact White do want to, or do indeed determine the SABC's agenda? Because I've asked my good friend here to give me the translation, which basically says they make me want to, or they should piss off, or they make me want to puke, or whatever that means. Whatever it means, it doesn't sound good. So I would like to know, because I think also Africans need to know, what is the view of South Africans as a collective, as we are Black, White, Brown, whatever, in terms of where they stand in terms of the board and the executive and their place in the heart of their agency. Thank you.
Well, we've had, I think, questions from and comments from both at the GCO and the board. So if you could respond, both sides would respond.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair. The particular area that I want to respond to, and it's going to be difficult if we have to respond to the SBJ, the AG, not recent issue, because it was not specifically mentioned in the report, but if they are opinions of that is something else, they may not necessarily constitute opinions of the board, since the matter has not been discussed by the board. So I just want to clarify the issue of role. The role of the board is to ensure that there are policies of the SABC. And in as far as editorial policies of the SABC are concerned, the board is satisfied that we have a policy. The implementation of the policies, however, is an issue that we need to manage. And out of the Sisulu Commission, and I do want to emphasize that it is the Sisulu Commission, as far as we have structured, so the Commission was structured, it is, we regard it as the Sisulu Commission. We do not deny the fact that the Makas participated in the Commission, but it was a center of the Sisulu Commission. What the issue that came out of the commission was that there were no guidelines in terms that provide guidance to management to implement the policies of the board. And that was the gap that the commission identified. And at the time, I think that you pointed out that at the time that the issue came up, that was the process that management had engaged in developing the guidelines that would assist management to implement the policies of the board. But as far as the board is concerned, we have policies that provide that guidance, but the framework of implementing, that was the gap that was identified. And subsequent to that, the guidelines were developed and they were presented to the board. And this is where we are at this point in time. There are guidelines, we are satisfied that there are guidelines. And if there is a gap, obviously if this new board identifies certain gaps in the policies or in the guidelines, then those are the areas that we will address. But in as far as the board is concerned, there was no deviation on the policies in the sense that, except in the sense that there was a gap in how the policies are implemented, and that was that. But I just wanted to clarify that, you know, as far as the board was concerned, even at that time and even now, there is the gap is a gap to the policies, and that's the point that we're trying to make, that the board will then determine whether, even in developing more policies or enriching the policies, we need to go out on an equally extensive process nationally, consultative, to make sure that the policies become better. We concede the fact that this is a new environment, it's a digital environment. The policies of the SAPC need to adapt to this particular environment that's operating. But as far as the board is concerned, we are satisfied that there is a very extensive, well-developed editorial policy of the SAPC, and it caters for all of those things. Then, if there are gaps in the implementation, that's something that the management definitely needs to address. That's the part that I wanted to address. I am going to allow the CEO to respond to some of the issues. And I think the FXI case also came up. You raised some questions on the FXI case. Yes, the deputy chair was involved in that particular process. If you can come input to make on that particular area, then we will allow it.
Thank you, sir. I think let me just quickly dispose of the book. The book by one Fola Lomani, I think is a mere fabrication of what I said. Even the Business Day found that his translation was a mistranslation of what I said. But you know, Mr. Mang, I did say in my reaction to the Business Day that any political party that takes the rantings and ravings of Mr. Mang seriously has themselves to blame, because he's a, you know, self-styled pseudo intellectual. Yeah, I'm not surprised. Okay, now the but he's a pseudo intellectual, dialectical intellectual. So come out of that. Let's putting that aside. Let's come to Mr. let's come to Mr. Kumalo's input. I think while some of the concerns are quite valid, I think it's not fair to say that no action was taken. Which is what Mr. Kumar said, and so maybe he was just trying to emphasize the point. Because we have said that more than action was taken, I participated in that action as recommended by the Commission. This issue of counseling, in fact, we're not briefing some of the new board members, I had to explain that this counseling is not. It's not giving somebody a hand or something like that. It's a technical term that is in the disciplinary procedures of the SABC, where corrective action has to be taken. So, number one, that's the first thing. The second thing is that the action, I think maybe the members also thought that it was confined to this issue of counseling. It was not, as I've indicated in the last slide. That there was this issue of counseling, because our emphasis is on taking corrective action and making sure that these things don't happen. But on top of that, there was a verbal warning which was given. That's yet another disciplinary step which is prescribed in the procedures of the SABC. And so that surely does not amount to no action. We might have different views as to whether it's wrong enough and what have you. But those are specific actions that were taken. But having said that, with the question of whether one regards it as the sanctions that we impose as commensurate with whatever it is that was done, that's what it begs that question. Because I think from what people have been saying here, there's an assumption that, as a member said, you used the word that there was a deliberate deviation from SABC policy. No such finding was made by the Market Portfolio report. In fact, to be quite clear, they said that there might have been well-intentioned motive. So certainly no deliberate deviation. But they said, quote-unquote, viewed from an objective point of view, some of the exclusions were not justifiable. Now, that for those who are lawyers on the other side to understand what it means that a reasonable head of news was not a trick in that decision. But there's no question of deliberate intentional action. And in fact, to come back to Mr. Kumalo's issue about political bias on the part of Mr. Kalala, this is what the commission actually said. Quote, high among the concerns about a quote-unquote blacklist is whether there is a systematic exclusion of individuals as expert commentators on the acceptable basis that they are critics of government policy or the president in one respect or another. We could not establish this as a definitely consistent pattern, at least as regards those individuals whom Dr. Zeglala had no problem in acknowledging were excluded in one form or another as experts, and whose cases are repeated in this response. It is therefore not possible to conclude, as some observers seem to suspect, that the reasons advanced by Dr. Zeglala have been merely pretext for a deeper and undue pro-government leaning on his part. Likewise, it is not possible to discern any trend such as the individual stance on the succession debate or some other political issue. That was the finding of the commission. So the issue of the weight of the punishment should be weighed against a proper understanding of what it is that was the finding and what was not the finding. Because you can't punish somebody for something where the commission says there is no evidence to support that particular conclusion. Because then you're defying your own commission. So I just thought, let me put those issues into context. Of course, in the process of dealing with these issues, I mean, we had very extensive meetings where the issues of clarifying the roles and the policies of the SABC and the broader mandate of the SABC were taken to heart in the conversation between Mr. Funda, myself, and Dr. Zeglala. So, although to the naked eye it might seem that, you know, slapping the reed or whatever, so we have to look at to what the findings were and what was actually done. Now, coming to the FXI case. Unfortunately, I don't know how strongly the lawyer put it. You're quite right, Ms. Mark, but you know, the lawyers obviously are free to argue what they want to argue in a particular case. But what you have certainly said, at least I have said in public, that is that we had problems with some of the findings. And some of the findings, particularly this thing that I spoke about of the objective check. So you must remember, I'm the architect of this commission. I drew the terms of reference. So insofar as the commissioners went beyond or you know, shallower than what I expected, I had a right to make that point. And I certainly never asked them to find a so-called objective check. I wanted to find out whether there was a blacklist, and we found out there was no such blacklist, and that whether there were people who were excluded in the sense that Mr. Kumalo was talking about. More importantly, the reason there was this commission, the kernel of this problem was not so much the so-called blacklist. It was the fact that it was said that there was political motive behind it. And as I've just read, the finding was that no such political motive could be discerned. And so that is the case. If this was just a matter of, you know, the existence of some so-called list, black or white or whatever, I would have done the thing myself. The reason why I have to get reputable people, respected people out there, South Africans of high standing to do this, was because there was an allocation of political bias, which, if it was true, would have meant that the SABC has deviated from its mandate. And the findings, as I say, not that that is very clear. Now, the There was another question that we can see there. Like what I have with the representativity or the representation of the democratic of this country in our new room. There's no need for concern. I think all sort of journalists with various political views for that matter are represented in our newsroom. As far as the AB marketing, I think I would agree with the chairperson. We're not keepers of our employees of what they do in private organizations that they might belong to. What we do is if an SABC employee, if it can be demonstrated by yourself or anybody else that an SABC employee has broken any of the many rules and regulations in the SABC, then we will be very glad to act against them. That's just really, I don't want to get into the what my views are on that meeting or the Black Journalist Forum, because you'll be surprised. You know, if you get it. Okay.
Kekulwani, Ms. Matt, Ms. Mago.
I got to take Mr. Forum.
Yes.
But I don't mind for
it. No, this time it's age before beauty, eh?
but look, Shanda. One time beauty also then comes down. That's what I was saying in my argument. 54 of the report, 7.1. It's saying, if you read that, it's clear that there were guidelines existing. I said policies, but they are saying guidelines. Which there was another guideline which was implemented. Not the one which was saying the 1850. Then you say to me, there was no implementation guidelines. That's what the chairperson said in his response. But you see here, say saying these guidelines were not approved by the board. I think the person like that understand that before you implement something to go normal process, and then approve. Knowing that those guidelines were not approved, but were used to exclude those people. I'm saying it's the report 7.1. Not what I'm saying is the report. Now, the CEO is saying they are saying a reasonable person in his position. Surely you agree with me that a reasonable is supposed to understand this thing. That's what they're saying. If you're saying a reasonable person in his position, then you tell me that a company. You see, I understand that the process has gone through. That's what I was saying. I understand that the board do what they're supposed to do, then they decide to cancel. But I was saying that decision of canceling, I don't think that it's worth the action. Where guidelines are there, you commission another person to develop guidelines which are not approved by the board, and you use those guidelines to exclude people. Knowing that their guidelines are not allow you to do that. But we use those who are not approved to do that and so I think that is a conscious thing which you are doing. That's why I think the deliberate mediation is not from police but from the guidance. Because he knew, unless you are saying he was not taken through the processes or in terms of knowing the guidance and seeing the SABC and so on, it was not done. But if it was done, he said that's why I think the deliberate deviation check from the guidelines. But I don't dispute that the board has done what they're supposed to do, but I'm saying maybe the issue of saying is that outcome of that progress and really equally to these things which is the present world. That's what I was raising. But here's what I did about the deviation. That's the data as the chemical present world.
King and
Hatsu.
Thank
you. I think it's a critique of our responses when I'd like to think things have been put incorrectly. I don't want to get into these subjects and guidelines except the fact the DCO tried to tell us today that he emphasized the fact that the CBC was nothing wrong with having a policy. But there wasn't a policy. One of the findings, Snooki was setting up arbitrary injunctions with sometimes but the fact is, it's only when the thing came under public scrutiny after the tuition first aired that a guideline was quickly assembled. I don't know if that's true.
I just want to do one thought on the matter of Obi, and I think the chairman invited any board members to sit there, what would then be their personal view. I hope everybody will be thinking about this. Obi is not running this organization as a dog breeder. It's not a dog breeders association or a organic food grower association. It is a journalist. And he is the president of the Institute. And there is the mini line, the very same thing. And I do sincerely hope the board will be thinking about it very deeply. I'm sure that thing will fizzle out, by the way. I don't know how many serious that doesn't belong to it, but I think as a matter of figure it is an issue. The important thing to have seen that I want to correct, because the new CEO is not saying the supermarket that although there was no evidence to support a systematic political bias in favor of one party or person on the part of Dr. Zikalala. And I always say to you, as a side chat, as the DCO knows, we have raised this on TV, what, in 2006, we've been here before. But you should really not present this in a way which is not accurate. The finding of the report was, the precise terminology should not ignore the issue. The underlying problem is the exclusion of particular individuals, either entirely or for particular purposes, for reasons which are not objectively defensible. Whether one uses the label blacklisting or banning is besides the point. And it said we have found that several persons were improperly excluded as commentators or analysts. Okay, that is the finding. There was this phenomenon. Whether you call it blacklisting, censorship, whatever you want, it was there.
Okay. Sekumaru?
First of all, every market as an MP, but you're a teacher as an MP, you could have asked to be a member of MPJ, and MPJ also could have asked you. And the SAPC problem of management has no any role to the matter because it is not listed as the issues that we want them to come and explain. But to the fact that there are a lot of institutions in the country that are in terms of religion, cultural, racial groups and stuff like that. There are a lot of, NAFCOC, National African Chamber of Commerce, and I do not know if there could be many white people who are members of NAFCOC or not, whether there's an exclusion of the or not. But I was impressed, there are a lot of institutions that we could not join. One of them was the South African Union of Jewish Students, one of them called the Muslim Students Association, and many others. And it belongs to a structure called the DSS Black Student Society, because at that point it's advanced, it was important for us to be part of our student shooting with my spoken company in Taman City in the 1987-88. Now I'm saying that issue of whether people belong to exclusionary groups or not, it's not a matter that belongs here in terms of the GOA, but I think the matter that we must just make sure that there's no deliberate exclusion at the use of race, and that issue would have to be discussed with them. I think this is it. We not talk about that in terms of the off-the-record briefings that Ms. Mark also wrote, and that the rest of the Hogarth kept up the fact where that the longest-serving law in the national community, stuff like that, you know, in the Sunday class, I'm not saying that you would have to share that discussion as a political committee. In terms of how we can discuss structures, because some of them we do relate to, but in some cases, we are just print media represented by Mube and somebody from Konuma Mulusi, and then coming to make presentation. I'm sure I will call FBJ and many others to come and we discuss some of the issues there. So I think the matter that relates much more stuff, because I don't tell you that we as the AOC will give us that approach of the DA. We don't agree with it. And I think that the followers, you know, hair raising when the president of the AOC goes to address any occasion, even if my time never goes on, why don't you go there, like, that's when you're bad, blah, blah, blah. Now it's just like, why do you have to go there because of this stuff? Now we can't dictate on who the president of AOC must address and must not address. Chair, now back to the issue. That's what we're dealing with here. Chair, the issue does not relate around whether action against the president has been taken and should be harsh or not. The issue relates to whether it is correct, because we are also aware that, for instance, Mr. Fico theater for almost 6 to 7 years of mainland countries. He has kept the president of the ANC left for a long time. I mean, that is culture. You don't expect a drink or anything good. But you when you are in the SABC, you cannot then your own views try to exclude Mr. Super Saturday because you know that they're the person of the energy by then. Instead, you can bring somebody else. That's what the power God of somebody to come like what you say. That's what we said in terms of the Zimbabwean situation. That is another Sulu, Wellington, Benji, Trevor Mumbe, their views are much more on pro MDC, and I don't know which country now because it's Adamu Tambara and Morgan Zagara. Now, you cannot then use that position that you hold in SFC to then use your own cap as a commissioner of the ANC from 20 years in Bulgaria or any other place all over the world to say, well, this is wrong, I'm going to stop this, I'm not going to that. You cannot do that. It is not like that. Now, just use a presidential phrase as usual. Some among us believe that you are wrong. Some among us believe that you are right. Some among us believe that actually this legislation continues even until the Polokaya to the conference. And some among us believe that actually it still continues to change. Now, unfortunately, this board that sits here, it will be decisive such a perception. And you cannot rule the fact that it will not rule out the fact that the ANC is a winning party, and if the this perception persists, that will got people in the SADC, a public broadcaster, who take political sides on matters taking organization is a problem. For example, there's a perception that the GA is not divided into two. There's a GA of Helen Zille, there's a GA of Sandra Wood. Now we've got a board full of GA people here. Tomorrow, they'll be pursuing ideas of Helen Zille, and then those of Sandra Wood will also complain. Because now you're not capturing those of Sandra Wood. You see, now you cannot allow to use more politicians as a GA person in the board to continue to play a political role that actually should be relegated to politicians. Now, these are the recommendations that we made at that point in time. One, we said the SADC must use a broad spectrum of political analysis beyond those that they've been using. Adam and Abib, this and that, there are a lot of people in the country. You can go to Tafel, you can go to Porter, and we also said the danger of people trying to get people nearer to Joburg Station, Joburg SABC, Devon and Cape Town, will then continuously have a narrow group of people who are simply to the political analysts. At the end of the day, you do quite a lot of parties who could actually be helpful outside other areas, the center that are identified. Secondly, we said that you need to keep a balance of various political views and opinions so that tomorrow you don't seem to be taking particular on behalf of the ANC, the party concerned towards the DA, or even the factions in the DA. You see, that is the last chapter. We are now saying, and we said it before, it is possible that people who might belong to the South Africa, even those who belong to the political party, people only wonder where have you been for the past 20 years. It is possible that there could be members on the board who either belong to PAC, ALDAPO, ANC, GA and stuff like that. But they do not then, when appointed in the board, have to then take out the political position, political organization position, because we as the ANC public representatives are delegated precisely to protect the ANC interests and to protect the so nobody, either by membership of a particular branch or by your experience of having been in exile for 20 years or in prison for 10 years or maybe having been an internal exile, whatever, internal person. You are not mandated to do that. You see, a people are in the board. It is for the village of public to do that. So it will be wrong for policy for people while they remember that the ANC then start to do that. Because you must have hope, you'll find yourself now of going seem to be a Sandra Buerta person instead of Helen Zille person, and we don't want those type of people. Yeah, so those are the recommendations that we do. So it's not about those categories alone, it's about the whole issue and that I've mentioned earlier. That will affect even the board itself. Because it will even this board now, there'll be conversations about how it was appointed, who is elected, who and what and what. So we don't want that chapter to continue. Thank you.
Ms. Ingen. Now, the coffee is getting cold outside. And shall we allow Ms. Yangeni to make a comment and then we'll adjourn for a few minutes? If you can quickly grab a cup of tea or coffee and then we come back. You want to respond before that? Alright, so let us close then this position. When we come back, we might pick up on the If there are any issues around the investigation and disciplinary matters, if not, take it easy to the mentor, then we can take the second item on the agenda. Did you get it?
Thank you, Commissioner. I welcome the possible by the and the my question is I understand that the outcome is not saying Mr. Zikalala was doing whatever with the accused of being fully deliberated. But I want to hear and understand the view of the management. Surely, when this thing came up, before or after you appointed the committee, you had your own discussions in your own bedroom. How did you view the matter? Was it a question that Mr. Zikalala just liberated from or the policy, or if you don't understand, or there's an error on the side, the board, and the board definitely did the same. Why did you say it's proper, or thought that it was proper to give a verbal warning? What is the content of that verbal warning? Because just before I came to Parliament, I was working in one of these companies, and my understanding is that where I was working, a person, you give a person a verbal warning, but you don't give the person a number. I don't know what is this. You correct me. Verbal warning, counseling, tell me what is the content of that counseling. Disciplinary action. I mean, there's a number of things at the same time, and what kind of action was it taken? And do you think that after you have done all what you did to Mr. Zikalala, he has changed? Or he has continued to do what he was doing without saying certain people are persecuted, or just continued? Did you see some form of, a change? And, of course, it's just that she acknowledged me. Now, the other thing I want to hear from you, I should not listen to the narrative statement. I was the speaker. But I received a message that says, or said, he is talking to the family. We can't hear the president. We can't hear the talk. I don't want to speak for other people, but that's what I said. Did you hear that? And if you did, what was the problem? And then the SACC was in full force at Pulukan, in the station. Now, when the newly elected president of the ANC agreed his acceptance speech, it was something out of public, so I think it wasn't fine. I'm also told that it was never protected. That's one thing to tell me, because if we don't explain these things, we live with the perception that people are saying. So we want to hear from you. To come to your honorable dean, the difference on what you commented on, why the president the ANC went to that gathering. The difference between the attendance of the president of the ANC and what you said on the paper, if you did say that what is written is saying that it was a problem when Mr. Bulelani is it. What we had, what I had, you tell me if I'm wrong, is that the president of the ANC, Mr. Jacob Zuma, was invited to the meeting. He did not organize the meeting as it has been the case. That's what he had also completed. That Mr. Bulelani did organize. So that is the difference. And if he has been invited, it is, I've never heard any hullabaloo in the papers when Mr. Jacob Zuma met the African group.
That's what I agree.
Or the white farmer, he didn't. But still, in this case, why is it a problem? You see, so really, no, don't answer me, please. Yeah, I don't see the difference. It's the same comment.
Thank you, Mother. Question. Urgent question. Mr. Peterson, your hand is still up, alright? Chen?
Thank you, Chairperson. I've got just one question here, so I need an answer. Part of it is coming from the constituency. First question, how far have you gone with Clause 6 of the recommendation, which says the SABC should develop clear guidelines on how to utilize death analysis and commentators to in line with SABC's mandate. Second, 2 weeks ago, myself and Hayden Kanyako, Radio Ikaga FM, we were grilled by caller. One of the questions people were asking was the composition of the board is the process. I defended the process of the selection of the board as a lot of time. Right. The other question which left us, both of us, you know, not knowing what to say. People are saying things like Article 1. They couldn't hear the sound of the maiden speech. There are 8 statements. Then they equated that with the allegation that the UCO and Dr. Stukizela has been heard saying they will resign should this monkey take a week to serve the. Then people are saying we should answer that with Kanya. Whether, when are you resigning from that monkey did really win the election? Both of us, I was scratching the head in my office and then I was hoping Kanya was standing wobbles and wobbles trying to answer. This is coming from the caller's bottom. Thank you very
much. Other question, CCO?
I really want to make a comment and an appeal to the members present here. I want to make a comment again on the issue of policy and the issue of guidelines. And to clarify again the difference between the two. The page that you refer to, page 64, states that SABC has a broader officially approved policy on the use of death analysts, specialists, and commentators. So there is acceptance that there is a quality. And again, I stated earlier on that what was then found to be lacking was the set of guidelines. And that's a management tool that provides guidance, broad guidance to management on how to then select. Even on page 64, page 63 in exercise, point 9.2 states that the SABC's current policy on the use of guests, analysts, or specialist commentators is housed at the level of generality. That is the gap that was identified by the committee. And that is where we are. And the GCO explained that at the time when the issue came up into the media, this is exactly what management was trying to do, to develop the set of guidelines. So there were guidelines that had never, at that stage, the guidelines had not been supported. They were still at management level being discussed, being developed, being worked up with the new staff. This is what was happening. And this is what was happening, and this is what ended up in the media. That's where we are. I just wanted to clarify this, because it's not like there was nothing at all, but there was a policy, the guidelines that the management was supposed to be using in how to implement the policy. That's what was happening. That's the process that was being engaged. The second point of my submission, Chair, is just an appeal that this is obviously a new board. And I know we will always carry, I'm not sure whether it's a stigma, but the role or the baggage, if you want to define it, some people might define it as a baggage, of having been part of the previous board. Yes, we were, and we were part of this discussion, we were part of the decision. And we stand by the decision that we made. What we accept, obviously, is that there is a new board, and one of the new things that, for instance, the news committee is doing is really engaging with the editors and the editorial staff, engaging with the policy, and looking at where they are then. So we accept all of the comments and also that the committee says the reason why they are here today is so that they can hear and listen and take a cognizance of the concerns that are being raised and then work on them. The committees haven't even said, they're sitting for the first time on Thursday and Friday, and for them to be expected to respond to all of these issues that they did is issues that they, and the distinction between the previous board and this board is something else as well that we always have to deal with. But I think the extent and the intensity of the questions today, assuming that this board will respond to everything that came from the previous board. We take responsibility for the decisions that we've taken. We're not saying because some of us are not part of the previous board, we will not respond. The fact that we are here today is an indication that we are committed to making sure that the interest is taken in the way we have issues in the SABC, and we are committed to ensuring that the SABC plays the role that it should play. We accept that the dissatisfaction and the fact that there is, even today we are still sitting with the unsatisfactory, we have to explain what counseling means, we have to explain what disciplinary action was taken on Dr. Zigalala. It's a difficult issue, but at the same time, it's a decision that was taken by the court and for reasons that at the time too. But it is up to the new committees and the new committee to look into all of those issues. Whether, for instance, the issues of the presentation that you're talking about are they, whether some of the allegations that were made in the past will continue or still persist at the SABC. That's up to the new committee to look at. And if there's still dissatisfaction, how do you address the issue? But I think it's unfair to for this board to be able to provide all of those answers. And really, that's the appeal that I want to make to the committee, that we've heard, we've listened, but just on the legal processes, the Cthulhu Coalition started somewhere, it ended somewhere, and these were resolutions, there were recommendations, and if there are recommendations that are carried into the new board, we will certainly look at those. We're not saying we're not going to do this. For instance, key point you're raising, even though we have answers today, we think we have answers, you are saying, obviously, we haven't done enough, And this is why I said earlier on, the net has been placed on the committee chair, the new committee chair of the HR committee, who will look into that. If there's responses, because the questions still come up on this and other issues, the Sisulu, the political bias and everything else, we'll definitely be able to respond to that. But I do want to feel that the new committee chair is giving a chance and the new board is giving a chance to provide direction on the matter. Because otherwise we keep on engaging on this and we're not going anywhere. That might be said. So I really do want to assure that when, as far as the content receiving the answers, in as far as the recommendations, and this is what you are doing, is I guess we will continue to address them. We will not say, you know, we will not. But when I said, for instance, in the beginning, that I really want to assure that people, the next, it was closing just the Sisulu Commission, as a commission. And it is the Sisulu Commission, I want to emphasize that point again. In as far as its work on content, the recommendations were set, and we looked at all of the recommendations we had. What we're supposed to do today is to say, how far have we gone in implementing the recommendations? So there's not a single recommendation that you said we're not going to apply. We have looked at all the recommendations, and we continue applying. And in as far as policies, and ensuring that policies of the SAPC address, we continue to do that, and this new body also is committed to do that, and we continue to do that. But the appeal for me is that the board should be judged on its own decisions and its own actions, and we should be given a chance to do that, to focus on the work that we are doing.
No, we are going to deal with a specific question. I think the chair was giving the context of our presentation. Just the specific questions, chair. I will not deal with the broader issues. I think the chair has done that. The one was the one question from the panel. The question is raised by Ms. Yang and Mr. Kutisi and Mr. Nimano. One is the what are the view of management? Well, I can simply put it like this, speaking for myself. But when the allegations came out in the Sowetan, my attitude was quite simple. That if these allegations are true, they would constitute a serious breach of the responsibilities of the SABC and my own responsibilities. And that's the reason, as I said earlier, that I took this matter so seriously. I could have asked one of the employees to do the investigation. I could have done the investigation myself, but I did not. I went and sought a serious South African, one of whom had the expertise in knowing the SABC and how it works, having occupied the position that I've occupied, the other one being a media lawyer, to look into this. So that whatever, I didn't know what the findings were going to be. The terms of reference were presented to this committee. They were broad enough. I even said if there were people who wanted to testify in camera, who wanted protection, who were scared of intimidation, they should be protected. So this was a genuine attempt, and really, one of the unintended consequences of flogging this thing beyond this step is that if a similar situation arises again, I don't think I will touch him as a manner. Because, here was an attempt to say to South Africa, here's a similar situation. If it's true, let it be scrutinized. But as the chair said, I mean, since then, there have been all these misinterpretations, even of the findings that are in black and white. So that was the view of management. And I then took the issue to the group representative of the SABC and said, here is this matter, here are these allegations. We listened to Dr. Pikalara's explanation around it, and the group representative resolved that we should be further inquired. It's only then that I then went to the chair of the board and approached them and said, these are the people I have in mind. This is a matter of serious public concern. It should be investigated. And honestly, we didn't expect that were indulging in this kind of, misinterpretation that then followed, particularly in the media and in certain other settings. Right. What is the content of the action? Well, the content of the action is that, as far as the counseling is concerned, we dealt extensively, Mr. Funde and I, with this issue of the what is called the management style, which is referred to in the guidelines, in the recommendation, and some of the things that were alleged to have been said or done in a very extensive way, and is acknowledging what Ms. Smart was saying, which is that we're not saying here nothing wrong was done. So we can't be saying nothing wrong was done and then say we took action. That would be a contradiction. We took the action precisely because we acknowledged that something wrong was done. And in that process then, so but it is not just a question of a witch hunt and shoot them dead or whatever. You have to find ways of taking corrective action and making sure that the thing is not repeated going forward. And that is the part that we refer to as counseling. The other part, which is a verbal warning, is to us once again to ensure that this doesn't happen again. So the warning clearly says, if you do it again, more serious action will be taken. And honestly, I don't think it's helpful to now second guess as to whether this or that action should have been taken. For someone who's not part of the disciplinary action, and to discuss the disciplinary action, you can speculate outside as to whether there were mitigating factors or whatever. But that's what it is. I am tasked as a CEO to take disciplinary steps. I took disciplinary steps. That's it. And the steps may or may not be open to criticism, but at least we did take the action. Do I think it has changed? Well, I don't think it's a matter of, insofar as the issues that we dealt with in the counseling, I can say that there was acknowledgement that maybe has gone too far in certain areas and so on. I know for a fact that one of the things that has changed is that Dr. Zigalala confines himself to speaking to his direct management, and that they would then deal directly with the journalists. And that's something which is quite a significant change. Whether he himself has changed or what, I don't know. But insofar as these actions are concerned, he made those changes. And, can I deal with the other issues collectively? January 8th, did I hear what happened? Yes, I did. By the way, I was also a victim. I was in the middle of KwaZulu-Natal and made elaborate plans to get the television so that I could listen to the speech, and I couldn't get half of it. So I was very much aware. And from wherever I was, I phoned the responsible people, and to cut a long story short, it turned out that there was a technical problem. That's all there was, really. And we issued an apology to the public. I don't think we could do more than that, to say that this was a technical problem. And I personally gave an explanation to senior members of the party concerned, and they accepted that explanation. So you're quite right. I mean, perceptions, if the perceptions are there, even something as innocent as a technical fault, quite frankly, I don't know how we could have gotten it right to stop the sound and keep the thing, whatever it is that was alleged to have done. But that was not the case. Mr. Romano? Yeah, the first issue about, you see, just shows you how these rumors flow. By the time you are saying this now, it has even changed from what the family can say. There are two statements, one of which is a blue lie, which are made regarding me. The first one was about the monkey statement we're talking about, which was attributed to Dr. Zakanali. I don't know if he made that statement. I would be very surprised if he did, but he answered for himself. But the one about me was worse than a figment of the imagination of the seminar. Because he claimed that after the result, he said, I told anybody who cared to know in Pulisan that I was going to resign. Now, I said to the journalist, well, let's forget about everybody. Let's just get one person, one. And that was not for Kamal. Because this was, as I say, something which was made up completely with a complete fabrication. It's not even a misstatement or a misquote or whatever. I mean, I never said such a thing. I didn't even think it, let alone say it. You know, so it was just a complete fabrication. If I wanted to resign, I would just tell everyone who cared. I would just told the separation of the post and resign. I mean, there's nothing that would have stopped me. So this was a complete fabrication with no basis, and I have no such tendency.
Come in.
You'll have cold coffee, it's fine. Go ahead.
I know that the person not to go is emphasized on the fact that they were given a chance for a new course. Wakuna was, you are fully aware of that. And the issues that were raising in many cases, the issues that you are raising are not new. Maybe it's important for us for the matter of emphasis that these issues must be dealt with as soon as it is possible. So that those who are, you know, very few in many cases who are young, and which are very new, the cases that have been carried over. So the sooner, I think we have to give deadline that this, I think the committee must come up to deadline. So that we don't step on these things and next year and next year. So thank you.
I shall be again for 10 minutes. Please, 10 minutes because we've still got another clock to come in. Mm-hmm.